Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Grassroots Sport Business Show here on Spectrum On Air. Me, Dave Johnson-Rayner from Koi Sports, and of course, Mr. John Woodcock. And I'm not going to say
hello.
Where you're from. I'm going to let you do that job because something new and exciting's happened, hasn't it?
For you? It is. I've moved jobs. Okay. On Friday, the other week, I left my role at Voluntary Action Leicestershire. And I'm now the academy trainer for Barclays Bank, working with AMS.
Boom!
So big shoes I've got to fill now. Lots of responsibility, and I'm a little bit scared.
Well, you're a lot paler than you normally are.
I'm not sleeping. And
you're quivering, Jack.
Do you know what? It's been brilliant. There's so much to do, so much that I've got to read up on. But like I said to you the other day, is that, you know, my background is financial services, recruitment, and training. So this opportunity actually ticks all of those boxes. The one thing that I have said, I want to say a huge thank you to everybody that's wished me well. And I've been in contact with me on various sort of platforms and WhatsApp and stuff like that. I will still be doing things within sort of, you know, the charity sector. But once I know which way is up with my own diary, I will kind of start to sort of do various other bits that I will continue to do the amazing work with Koi Sports. I will continue to do the stuff with Memphis because that's something that I've been doing for quite a number of years. But thank you very much to everybody that said, you know, wish me luck. It's been great.
Yeah. Well, you reap what you sow, John. That's what I say. So well done, mate. We wish you luck with that. Those of you that joined into the last show, we moved to a panel show format. You may or may not be aware. We wanted to trial that out and see how that went. And I think it went very well. Hopefully our regular listeners enjoyed that. But I'm particularly excited about today's show. And I'm going to now introduce you to our two guests. They are linked in a different way and probably have only just started to get to know each other. But what both individuals do is amazing. And what they're going to do together is absolutely amazing. So I'm going to start the way that my Zoom screen is and ask you to introduce yourself. So first, I'm going to start with Sarah Mercer out in Dubai. Hello, Sarah. You all right?
Yeah. Hi, David. How are you?
Yeah, really well, thank you. I'm really good. Well. Do you want to just give our listeners a little resume of what you do, where you've been, where you go?
Yeah, so my name is Sarah Mercer. I'm a former gymnast for Great Britain, representing the country at the 92 Olympic Games in Barcelona. Took some time out of the sport, but having arrived in Dubai, started teaching again, and I found that I had more passion and enthusiasm about teaching children of determination, or a lot of students on the spectrum who I think a lot of trainers were afraid to train in a way. And it's just become a love and a passion of mine. And, you know, I just like teaching gymnastics to people who probably don't have that opportunity in everyday life elsewhere.
Mm. And it's brilliant. We've known each other for maybe a year, 18 months, might be a little bit longer than that, Sarah, I don't know. But and I think it's a beautiful phrase, children of determination. Yeah. But did you want to just explain what that means in your world, in the Dubai world, but for our Western world listeners?
Yeah, so I think the UAE hosted the 2019 Special Olympics. They wanted to do away with handicap or disabled or anything like that. So they came up with this frame of people of determination. And it didn't just have to be children. It's the new phrase. You won't drive into a car park anymore and there'll be a spot for a disabled person, because it's a person of determination. Mm. And that has, you know, that's echoed throughout the UAE. And I think it's also made people see the situations and different people with different abilities and in a different life, because they haven't got this label of being disabled or handicapped now. There's somebody who's incredibly determined to, you know, be normal in the world, which, you know, so yeah, I think, you know, high five to the UAE, because I think they've really nailed it on the head with what they've sort of come up with the phrase for it.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think, John? I love that. People of determination.
I think it's a term of phrase. It's much, much better. Much better. You know, and it sits with me personally a lot better. You know what I'm like. I watch things and read things all the time, especially with regards to stuff like this. And I think that, you know, children of determination really sums up exactly who they are, what they are, and why they do what they do. And they're probably far more determined than most kids that sit around, you know. He says this, I'll have one downstairs watching a tablet and another one on his PC games. But I think it's fabulous. I really do.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's brilliant. Thank you, Sarah. And our other guest today is Bushra Ali of Bushra Ali Solicitors and Other Things. Good afternoon, Bushra. You all right?
I'm really well, thank you, Dave. I'm just worried, how on earth do you follow Sarah and all her amazing accolades?
I'm sure you'll do your best.
So I'm Bushra Ali. I'm a lawyer. I'm an advocate at heart. I would like to think through the work that I do, I try to make some sort of small change to individuals' lives for the better. I served as president of the Leicestershire Law Society, and it was around that time that I found my passion for the space of building a platform to raise awareness of social issues, and hence all the work that I've been doing was then formalized into the Bushra Ali Group. Being born with cataracts and being blind, having three bits of corrective surgery, and growing up always trying to push boundaries and prove people wrong and seeing situations as opportunities and really trying to push the boundaries in making that difference. And that's really where my passion is. And listening to what Sarah was just saying there, we recently held an international panel discussion on disability and cultural stigma. And it was this idea that you may be differently abled and you may have, for want of a better phrase, a disability. It doesn't mean you don't have any talent. It doesn't mean you can't think, you can't speak, and you're not talented in other areas, and trying to address those issues that, no, I don't need to sit in a corner. No, it doesn't mean I can't do anything. No, it doesn't mean I can't have passions and desires and aspirations like other people. So, yes, that's what the passion is. And the social entrepreneur on the side of the Bushra Ali Group.
Yeah, I think that's brilliant. And you've known John for a while, haven't you?
Bless her.
I think she's great.
John and I have seen so much of one another. We just never seem to get to have.
No, we don't. This is true. That can be rectified. But once I know what my diary looks like over the next few weeks, so I genuinely don't have a clue yet.
It'd be quite interesting, John. Obviously, you, from the outside looking in, you've known Bushra and Bushra Ali Solicitors and what they do. Sort of an independent view, really, because I believe the way that Bushra runs her business is how most businesses should, well, they could learn from it, put it that way.
Yeah, this is just an outsider's perspective. I think that, you know, the fact that she, you know, you come in to do your own thing with Bushra Ali Solicitors, you've done the presidential bit, you've then looked at that as a platform to do good and do better, not necessarily just for yourself, but for those that, you know, that maybe are underrepresented, for want of a better way of putting it, without putting a label on it. And that's, you know, across many different sort of variations of that. You know, I only sort of look at this and sort of go, just look at it go. You know, I think that what you're doing is absolutely phenomenal. You know, some of the bits that I've just written down there is you know, you sort of saying, look, I see situations as opportunities. There's no real obstacles. It's just, you know, yes, I'm going to be able to do that. I think that if you then use that with the, you know, the children or people of determination, you know, you put those two together, you know, wow. What a great thing that is. So I think what you're both doing in very different places and very different situations are actually very akin.
Mm-hmm.
Very much so. So I completely understand why you are sort of, you know, kind of talking to each other a little bit.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. And, you know, in part two of the show, we're going to explore that a little bit. And apologies if it goes to a bit of a Koi Sports bias, but it's the outcome of what we set Koi Sports up to do. And it's going to be really interesting to dip a little bit deeper into that. I mean, we're literally 3-4 minutes from the first commercial break. Where did that time go? But I think for me, it would be great, firstly, to let's deal with both of you lovely ladies separately and look to how 2022 has started for you, because it's the start of a fresh year. Sarah, everything's still the same as it was 2021, or anything new on the horizon?
No, moving as fast as I physically can, as always, David, as you know. So trying to catch my breath at times. Yeah, it's good. It's a little bit hectic. Especially because the schools went back to be online for 2 weeks, and now unfortunately they've decided that there's going to be no PE at school for the time being, so it's going to be all theory based, and now parents are scrambling around to after school activity providers such as gymnastics, football, cricket, trying to get their kids active. So it's just been a bit like a whirlwind for the last 3 weeks, trying to accommodate children in activities. You know, I don't know when situations will change, but at least for this term, which is normally a quiet term because the weather is nice and your football and rugby and cricket normally gets, you know, high volumes of people. Now we're finding that the indoor activities as well are actually very popular at the moment.
Interesting. Yeah. I think this year is going to be very different to the last 2 years. Again, this kind of coming out of lockdown and what have you. How about you, Busher? Fingers crossed, John. How about you, Busher? 21, 22?
21, interesting. The majority of our work in terms of at the law firm, which is where the income comes from to do the other bits that I'm so passionate about, the area of law is immigration. And we were hit really hard when the borders were closed, and suddenly the time we'd be dealing with visit visas, you know, that why aren't people applying? Oh no, you can't get one. And why aren't people getting married at the moment? Where are the marriage visas? So it was a really, really interesting time. Great bits of 2021 were to be awarded Midlands Institute of Director and Corporate Social Responsibility Award, which was fabulous for us. Lots of other bits taken up. So on Cheshire and North Wales Law Society, because I grew up in Wales from the age of two, it was great to be able to now go back and provide that support. So set up equality and diversity subgroup on Cheshire and North Wales Law Society, really supporting them. Here in Leicester, getting on the advisory board for the Leicester Council of Faith. So I'm just looking at give back, all those bits that I've been able to take up. And they will say, yes, climb up the ladder, but from time to time, don't forget to turn around and help the next person up. And that's the bit that I really want to focus on. And 2022 now, all those bits and projects that the Bushrani Group has been running, now being formalised, moving over to a CIC, starting a huge mentoring project with 10 universities around England and Wales, and another domestic violence project. So really, really excited for what 2022 is planned to bring.
Absolutely brilliant. I think that set the scene quite nicely for part two and part three. Thank you both very much for that. We are going to go to a commercial break now. I'm going to let John do the dad dancing this time to celebrate his new, his new job. But enjoy the adverts, and we'll see you on the other side. Hello and welcome back to part two of the Grassroots Sport Business Show here on Spectrum On Air. Joined today by John Woodcock as ever, Bushra Ali from Bushra Ali Solicitors, Sarah Mercer over in Dubai doing wonderful things in the world of gymnastics with Children of Determination. Again, sorry about the seamless plug, but Koi Sports puts organisations together. And funnily enough, we put Bushra and Sarah together. At Koi Sports, we charge Bushra a membership fee, but then we reinvest it into a grassroots sports initiative. And Bushra was looking for something to do around, let's call it determination, people of determination. Because as John rightly pointed out, it's a much more, much better way of saying things. And I think within this section, I think it's trying to understand and get across, Bushra, why you were looking to reinvest your membership fee in that way. And then Sarah maybe coming in and talking about how creating that relationship will help what it is that you do. So Bushra, over to you.
I want to see more inclusivity. I want to see more diversity. I want to see more opportunities, and I want to see more acceptance for those that are differently abled. But it's not just acceptance, it's recognizing and appreciating their amazing talents. And from what I had read and heard, Sarah and her work just absolutely fits that box. And that's exactly what I was looking for to support.
Mm. It's great. And I think that's it. You know, we need people in this world who are willing to look at that. Because there is that inequality, which for me, I don't know what you think, John, it's a very unjust. I think I know your answer to that, mate.
You do. Yes. 100%. We've had this conversation many, many times.
Yeah.
And I think I pick up on with what Bushra was saying. It's the inclusivity piece, but it's the acceptance therein of everything that goes with it. And, you know, I look forward to a world where everybody is accepted. And I know that is very much a case of, oh, John's wearing his rose-tinted glasses again. But that's the world that I want to see. Not necessarily, you know, for me, but I want to see it for my kids. And I want to see it for their kids at some point in the future as well.
Mm. Yeah, that's a horrible, that's a thought, that is, you being a granddad, John.
Let's not go there yet.
So, Sarah, obviously the work that you're doing, we heard it part one, an overview of what you're doing. How important is it that the commercial world gets involved in supporting initiatives like yours?
I think extremely important, because a lot of the times children don't get involved into activities is because there aren't the financial resources to support them doing anything outside of school. I mean, schools here are not cheap anyway. And then on top of that, if you are a person of determination, you need a learning support person, which is an additional cost on top of the school fees already. And by the time all of that money's been spent out by parents, there isn't finance to get them into activities either. So if the commercial world can recognize and support it financially to start with, I think it's a good step in the right direction. I mean, David, honestly, but the work I do, I it's not my background. Literally 2 years ago, I knew that the Special Olympics was happening in the UAE, and I knew I wanted to be involved. And they brought four girls to me. I'd never worked with a child of determination in my life. And these four girls that came to learn gymnastics with me just changed my career path completely. It's incredibly rewarding. And from working with, I think, four girls who have Down syndrome, who are children of determination, I now teach 20 children privately on a weekly basis, not just with Downs, but with autism, with Asperger's. And I think that it's not my Olympian hat, okay, I'm a high performance coach or whatever. No, I have compassion and I have understanding and I have love. And the thing is that these children trust me. So I'm obviously in the right place at the right time doing the right thing, because as much as it's great for them, it's been an incredible journey for me as well as a coach.
I bet it has, yeah. And how did that come about? How did that opportunity come about for you?
I just woke up and said, I want to be that coach, and made it happen.
I
send a couple of emails. And you know what the sad thing is? Nobody stepped up for the role either.
Wow.
Nobody wanted the role.
Right.
But I wanted the role. And at that time, my employer did not want me to have that role, because it would have taken me away from the business, because I was running a business. And this wasn't a moneymaker for them, sadly. So, you know, but it was just, I was determined that I had to be involved in one way or another.
From what you're saying there, I like the fact that you're saying, you know, I was determined to take this on. I was just, you know, and I think that, you know, the other thing you've mentioned there is that you were in the right place at the right time to sort of, you know, for you to make that conscious decision, which is a big step, leap, you know, forward for you, and a very brave decision, I'd like to sort of say as well, is, you know, but then the other bit that you've mentioned is that it's incredibly rewarding. And I can't actually put into words, you know, what you do and how you do it. You know, I do a tiny little bit for children with determination. That's going to go with me now for forever. But, you know, at Christmas time and Easter time and stuff like that, I work with a local charity and I take out presents. They get them, you know, they are all wrapped up and everything. And all I do is I pick them up and I go and deliver them. For me, the smiles on the faces of those children when I deliver those presents, and I take my 8-year-old and he comes with me and he thinks it's brilliant to go and do it. You know, that it's incredibly rewarding. That little bit that I do is incredible. I can only imagine the reward that you get as somebody who, as you said, has been a high profile athlete, but then you're teaching these children to do something that they wouldn't normally do or wouldn't have had the opportunity to do previously.
Correct.
I think I was wearing a hat, take it off.
I think it's such an eye opener as well, because I do train squad gymnasts who are training for competition, but to all of a sudden bring my other athletes of determination into a mix with my squad gymnasts who train 3 hours a day, you know, the initial, when I initially did this, these children, as many children, have never been interacting with somebody of determination, a child of determination. So the first thing is a little bit fearful. Okay, the next minute the child will warm to you, and it comes all about the hugs, because children love to hug, and then, you know, COVID rules don't allow that, sadly, but we do. We're all huggers. And then to, you know, a few months down the line, everyone's high-fiving each other, you know, and it's had such an impact on my other students. It's just been incredible. They've been able to train all together for the 2 hours in a wow. session. So it's had an amazing experience, not only on my children, because I've taken them everywhere for when I've gone to competition, or they're always at the gym with me, so they're interacting, or I'm, you know, if we go to lunch with the families of, for example, Layla, you know, we do social things together. I think it's had a great effect on the children of determination, but an even greater effect on children who don't have any disabilities as such.
I'd like to bring cultural barriers to the conversation there in the context of, in certain cultures that I work with, often the decision is they can only afford to or have the mindset to, for example, educate one. And this idea that girls are there to get married off, it's the boys that are going to stay with us and bring in the income, that's who we educate. So when you're already trying to address issues like that, and you add to the pot that it's the child of determination, child differently abled, there are more issues. And it's just wanting to change that mindset and encourage others that get your children out there, allow them to experience and enjoy and find those talents and have those hobbies and get involved in things. And I just think that it's just absolutely brilliant work. And I hope that any parent that is listening that has a child that is differently abled encourages them to get involved in sport and things that Sarah's doing.
100%.
Well said. Yeah, absolutely. And Bushra, you know, you run a socially responsible business, which is quite a decision to make. And I understand why some businesses don't throw themselves into it, because profits are hard earned. But just tell us a little bit about how it makes you feel and what your driver is, as far as, right, I'm going to run my business and I am going to dedicate an amount of time or an amount of money this year, at the start in January, let's say your financial year runs January to December. To make that decision, I think, is quite brave, because nobody knows what the year ahead holds. Mm-hmm. What's it like from you and the way that you're thinking when you run your business? What's it like? Does it bring huge benefits for the business, not just Bushra, or is it completely the other way around?
It required a lot of thought. I knew that I was quite determined in what I wanted to do around it. So we had a lot of coverage around being the UK's first law firm to appoint a CSR lead. We brought on Aisha, who's got a rare disease, is completely wheelchair bound, lots of difficulties in terms of her health, but very, very talented. And we brought on a paid role to say, we don't have a budget, we're going to create that, and that is going to fund that, and you're going to get out there, and you're going to speak to organisations, small, large, all the way around, to understand. You say that you're equality and diversity friendly. What does that mean? Is that a little policy manual sitting on the side getting dusty, or how do you actually put that into practice? How can we come together to support one another as organizations? What can we learn from one another? So when we'd have our weekly team meetings, we don't just look at what have we made this week, how many cases have we taken on. We also have a regular feedback on the Bushra Ali group work too. It's become a part of our work that they're embedded and together, and one could not survive without the other. And again, the clients that we support, they're constantly facing social issues, whether they've fled from persecution, human rights issues, and they all come into that sphere of social issues. And we will always then look to have a discussion on that, a webinar, a roundtable discussion, where one really couldn't do without the other. That's the way that we've tried to really solidify the business.
It sounds like it might be quite tough to do. What was it, quite easy, really, in essence, looking back?
It was easy because I felt I had so much passion for it. It required a lot of work, but was I prepared to do that? Yes, because it's those issues that get me out of bed every morning, and you really want to make a difference to the lives of others in that space. And you can't change everything in the world, but you'd hope that you've made some sort of small difference. So it's absolutely what I enjoy doing on a day in and day out basis.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, John, you spend your life, in the last 2 minutes, this segment, you spent your life for, I don't know how many years you're at, Val, to be honest with you, but you lived that every day.
I'd spent a couple of years. I mean, you know, I took the opportunity so that I could learn more about the nonprofit sector. You know, it was a unique role for them, which was running their training department, but also sort of like creating more engagement with the business sector. And then obviously I took the role and then the pandemic hit. So it was, you know, everything went up in the air. But I learned so much within those 2 years about sort of the nonprofit sector. I've been very lucky and privileged to have met amazing people throughout that process. And, you know, I did quite a bit within the sort of the charity nonprofit sector prior to me sort of being involved with VAL. But I never really understood it. You know, I'd take up projects with these organisations, and I'd be there for like 6 weeks or 12 weeks, and some instances 6 months. But I never really got to meet anybody or talk to them or get to understand what they actually did or why they did what they did. I'd do my bit, which was very compartmentalised, and then I'd move on. So I've really thoroughly enjoyed the 2 years that just over 2 years I had with VAL, so that I could go out and actually meet people or at least talk to them like we do nowadays on Zoom, and meet with these people who are incredibly passionate about what they do and why they do what they do. But that I think something that me and you, Dave, have spoken quite a lot about, which is so many charities and so many nonprofits are amazing at what they do. They don't necessarily run themselves particularly well. And that's where they really do need to sort of tie in and run themselves as though they're actually a business, although they're not one and they'll never be one.
Mm.
It's that sort of thing. And I think that if there are great people like Bushra, who have set up the kick, and I'm sure that you've had some helping hand along the way from other people to make sure that you've crossed the T's and dotted the I's with regards to all of that. It's using examples like that about what other organisations can do. Because if you're running yourself pretty much like what Bushra does with the group, you do all right. You really will. Bush is one of the many people that I've had the privilege and honour of meeting and talking to along the way about, you know, what they do and how they do it.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing with your role that you've just left, is that it's kind of taken you into that world where you've been able to have those conversations with people from the third sector.
It's really opened my eyes, Dave, to be honest with you. It really did. And I think that I'm very blessed that I've had the opportunity, and I'm now sort of off, you know, training recruitment consultants in financial services, which is, a huge leap to the left. but ultimately, like I said, is that it won't stop me personally doing things, you know, with and working for, or however that's going to work out, with other charities and nonprofits, because, I think that I have a passion to do that. I want to be able to help these organisations make a real difference.
Brilliant. I think that's a great way of rounding off the show. Thank you for that, John. I say rounding off this section of the show, because don't go anywhere. We're back.
I'm off to do some dancing now, Dave. All right.
Great. But enjoy the ads and we'll see you on the other side. Hello, welcome back to the Grassroots Sport and Business Show here on Spectrum On Air. Joined today, as ever, by John Woodcock, Sarah Mercer over in Dubai, working with Children with Determination, and of course, Bushra Ali from Bushra Ali Solicitors over here in the UK. Grassroots sports, Sarah, we all know the issues that they face, but it's the big issues that sustaining of what you do. What sort of challenges are you likely to be facing over the next 12 months?
I think the biggest issue for me, immediate issue, is time. There are so many more children out there that probably or have approached me to do activities, and I just don't have more time to be able to do them, to be honest. And I wish I did, but I'm doing the best I can on my own in that respect. So I wish I could find other coaches who shared the same passion as me or wanted to get into that side of the business, but there just isn't that at the moment. So that for me is how do I make it more available? How do I create more time to be able to give back to more children?
I think you've touched on that. You need another you. You know, it's if only we had the technology to do that. Life would be so simple. It's a tough one, Sarah. I think you're unique in what you do, and I think, you know, trying to run a business and provide the passion that you have for these amazing children is going to be a time consuming in itself. But then are you having to turn kids away? Is it getting to that point? Or
sadly, John, yes. I spent the last year not taking a day off, and I had to make the decision this year that I have to have at least one day off, and I don't have any more hours to be able to place those children within my week.
7 days a week, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Crazy busy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I understand. I understand completely, and I think you, in a way, you've had to be quite selfish and go, I'm going to have a day. I've got to have a day off. I've got, you know, for my own physical and mental well-being, I've got to have my own space and my own downtime. Mm. But then it's sort of like, how do we get in touch with somebody who has, you know, the same sort of passion and determination to come and maybe help and work with you for these amazing kids?
Yeah, it's very difficult to say no, and most of the time it just doesn't come out my mouth. And I end up working on the seventh day anyway. But yeah, I have my own children, and you know, they knew why I was doing what I was doing last year, and I just need to, yeah. I think
it's that fine balancing act, isn't it? Of, you know, especially when you've got your own kids as well. Mm-hmm. It's sort of, you're doing what you're doing because you love what you're doing, and I can tell from what you know. What we're talking about here on the show and what we've been talking about outside of this is that you have fallen head over heels in love with it, and you love doing what you're doing. And I think that shows, and I think that the fact that you've been working 7 days a week as well, it will make a toll on you, but you do want to be able to, you know, provide that love, care and attention to your own kids as well.
Exactly.
I think it's what Busher was saying about, you took on Aisha, I hope I've pronounced that correctly, to actually run that, because it's your passion and you want to run your business in that way, Bushra. But you almost needed that other you as part of your business to make that happen. I'm guessing that's correct.
Yeah, and sticking to what Sarah was saying there, creating another you and coming at it from a business perspective, there's only so much that you can do. And when you're taking someone on, and certainly if I can talk for it from my own perspective, what I was really nervous about was that person being in line with my core values and delivering to my clients what I deliver. And in fact, then that required me to ask myself, well, what are my core values? We're ethical, we're open, we're transparent, we're a centre of education. Corporate social responsibility is at the heart of everything we do. And it really helped me shape already by thinking about my core values. I was already able to start thinking about what that person needed to be like. And as employers, we can often be so bogged up in making sure that the staff are helping that bottom line. But in order to help that bottom line also, I think we need to take some time out to make sure we're helping them develop themselves as people too. And it's taking that time out to support them, to nurture them, to help them grow, because the more time you put into helping them grow, they are going to help your business. Mm. And let's not forget, people buy from people. And the chances are that there are hundreds and thousands of businesses that are doing the same thing that you do. But what makes you different? You know, surely you want to be valued for you. You bring something different to the table. And for me, it was all about my core values. I don't simply do what I do because it seemed to make me money. I do what I do because I genuinely enjoy helping people. And that naturally helped me choose the organizations that I wanted to support. So in terms of other businesses thinking about things to get involved in, I think it really starts with going back to your roots and thinking about what are your core values? What makes you you? What makes you different? Why should people come to you and buy from you? And I think that should then help the answers just naturally flow as to what you want to support.
Mm. It's brilliant. And I think John mentioned it in the last section, is that there's probably lots of businesses that want to do more and have a passion, and their core values are X. Mm. But how do they go about delivering X alongside what puts food on the table for them and their staff? It is tricky. And I think, I mean, I was thinking to myself, you can't buy time. Well, Bushra kind of has. She's bought or invested money in a member of staff to deliver on her, or helped her deliver on her core values. And when we look at reinvestments of membership fees from Core Sports members, business members, that buying of what? You know, where is that money best spent? In 2020 and 2021, it was on about donating the amount of money that would cover somebody's subs to play sport that couldn't afford to, or their family couldn't afford to do it. As we move forward, and this is this journey that I go on, and I love this journey, is that you start to discover, well, actually, that does serve a purpose, and it's a good thing to do. However, when you have people like Sarah doing great things, but is now having to say no, and understandably so, you almost need to be able to support that addition of somebody else within your organization, no matter what it is, to deliver that. But if we look at, is there the skill set out there? I mean, Sarah, if I was to wave a magic wand and be able to throw a salary at you for somebody to do what you do, would it be easy to find somebody out there and to help you and support you and do what you do?
Yeah, that there's a fine line at the moment, because I think everybody wants a job and a salary at the moment, but whether you would actually find somebody who would actually care about what they're doing as well, with especially within this sport at the moment, it's a difficult thing. I honestly don't, off the top of my head, I haven't come across anyone. And I'm saying that because I have a couple of students who are looking for martial arts coaches as well, in addition to their gymnastics, and there isn't. Mm. But then I haven't really looked, David. I'm sure people are out there.
Yeah.
But you know, that would make it great. But as long as they had the passion, as you know, otherwise it just wouldn't work. Yeah. Because you have to be prepared for anything during a session. Some child might be in a good mood, might be in a bad mood, might not want to do anything for the whole hour that they're with you, you know. So it's every day's a learning curve.
Yeah.
To be honest. So I honestly answer your question, I'm not sure. But I'm sure there are people out there. I just haven't come across them as yet. But then again, I haven't been looking.
I understand. So John, just knocking that over to you, my friend. When we were working within the third sector, did you find that there was, at first, did there appear to be a shortage of people who wanted to go work in the third sector?
Oh, yeah, massive. You know, it's, I think that I went in with drive and determination personally, because I was hungry to understand. I took a pay cut to go and do the role. Yeah, there's not that many people that are as crazy as me to do that. I get that. You're taking a pay cut, you know. But There is, and I think I go back to what I was saying previously, is that, you know, some of the pitfalls within charities and nonprofits is that, you know, there's huge bits that are missing, like business planning and business development. And I know that sounds very businessy, but actually it's engaging with, you know, who you want, you know, to come and use your services, or engaging with the business sector a lot more, or engaging with, so here in the UK, the public sector a bit more to understand whether there's any other funding pots available, you know, getting your marketing strategy and planning correct so that you can tell everybody out there what it is that you do, but more importantly, why you do what you do, and you tell that story. Tell a story of why you are, you know, the charity of choice, or you do this or you do that. There's huge talents missing from a lot of charities and nonprofits, unfortunately. There's lots of training. There's loads of online stuff that you can go and do. You know, in most charities, you know, with Bushes, with a Kick, you don't need to have this, but lots of charities are run by a board of trustees. Mm. And in most cases, you know, I'm aware of, there's loads that come to mind. There are some great charities that have some really great business people on the board, right? And they will help to move that charity forward. There are lots and lots of charities that don't have any business people or any entrepreneurial-minded individuals on their board, and those will be the ones that tend to just stagnate and stay where they are. Mm. That sounds horrible, but I would love to talk to all of those. And maybe pass them on to my previous employer and see what they can do to help out. But there is a need and a requirement within charities and nonprofits. And I know, Dave, we've spoken about this previously, which is, you know, charities are set up, nonprofits are set up mostly with a cause in mind, and that cause should really have been dealt with and hopefully successfully dealt with within a very short period of time, right? Again, rose-tinted glasses, that would be great if that happened. But there are whole, you know, swathes of charities and nonprofits that are out there have been going a very, very long time because that need hasn't been satisfied or dealt with or been successful. And that when you say that out loud, it sounds horrible. It sounds awful that we're having to still be talking about these types of things, you know, maybe 10 years, 20, 30, 50 years in some instances down the line. It'd be great if we can sort of all come together. There's so many people that we all know collectively, just the four of us, that could probably all come together and combat something. And it's done. Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah. No, absolutely would. Listen, folks, thank you so much for sparing some time this afternoon, for coming along and being part of our show. Really, really appreciate it. And from me to you, wow, you're both doing some amazing things. And
I would second that.
Yeah. It's absolutely a privilege to be associated with people like yourselves. Before we go, is there anything anybody else wanted to say? We're literally down to the last 30 seconds.
No, just thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. And thank you, Bushra, for your support.
No, thank you for the opportunity to support. And I'm really, really excited to see what the future will bring. So thank you. Thank you so much.
Fabulous. Sarah Mercer, Bushra Ali, and of course, John Woodcock. Thank you also very much for being part of the show. And for our listeners, thank you for listening. And we'll see you in a fortnight's time.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.